Golf's an interesting thing. In most golf competitions, if you win a tournament, you get a trophy that looks maybe like this. There's young Rory McIlroy winning the British Open, so he's got the British Open trophy. Now, if you win this competition that's happening today, you don't win a trophy at all. You win a jacket. And it looks like this. A green jacket. Now, that's worth winning a competition for, isn't it? Actually, it is, because that green jacket symbolises that you become a member of the Augusta National Golf Club. And there are less than 200 members of the Augusta National Golf Club. The waiting list to get into the club is about 23 years. And in order to get into the club, you have to have a zero handicap and an awful lot of money. So if you win the competition, you actually become a member of the club. And as a member of the club, you can play this competition forever. For the rest of your days, you don't have to qualify. So the jacket then becomes an important possession. Tonight, I want us to look at jackets, not green jackets. I'll take my stuff with me. But jackets were important on Palm Sunday as well. Not so much jackets, but coats. I've got a Bible message tonight on coats, and it's one of the worst words a Yorkshireman can actually say. So you're just going to have to bear with me on this one, all right? And I don't want any wisecracks about coats or anything like that. But coats. And so tonight's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21. And it says these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that shouted said, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I read the following on the internet this week. It was an advertisement, really, and the words will appear on the screen, and it simply said this. Date, Saturday, the 24th of February. "Hello. I left my coat on the overhead storage rack of the Southeastern service to Ashford International from London, Victoria, on Friday, the 16th of February, sometime between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. I got off at the first stop, which was Beckenham Junction. I was in the end carriage, the first end to leave the station heading to Ashford. The coat was brown corduroy with an imitation sheep's wool lining and collar. The second or third button down should have been black thread around the underside of it where I sewed it back on last year. I don't think there were anything in the pockets, maybe some notes in an inside pocket. But the main thing is it had sentimental value. I never leave stuff behind, but I was feeling very tired and ill that day, and I forgot in the jam of people that it was above my head. I would really love to get it back. If anyone has it or knows what happened to it, please email me or text me or something. My name is Rex. I can provide a photo of me wearing the coat, and I would be willing to come pick it up wherever it is and pay a reward to get it back. Thanks. P.S. A couple of weeks ago, I returned a school bag to a student at Orpington College that had been on the left on the train. So it would be greatly appreciated if someone could return the kindness to me. Thanks. Do you know, I share that story to you because that is the desperate story of a guy who was desperate to get his coat back. That he's actually posted on the internet an advert giving every possible detail that he can. I get the vague impression he's quite attached to that coat and he would quite like it. The care, the love that Rex has for his coat is very clear. And on that first Palm Sunday, coats would play a significant part in the day. In fact, robes were symbolic throughout the entire final week of Jesus' life. Now, I don't know about you, but on Palm Sunday, we often focus on the donkey, we focus on the palms. Well, today, I'd like us to consider the coats. The first instance we have mention of the coats is immediately after the disciples secure the service of the donkey from its owner. It says this in the scripture that we've just read. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Here, what's happening? The faithful followers are willing to give up their tunics to enable the teacher to be comfortable. You know, it was Sir Walter Raleigh who is first thought to have taken off his coat and laid it over a puddle for Queen Elizabeth I to walk over. And of course, in the court of Queen Elizabeth, it was chivalry. Ladies, when was the last time a gentleman ever laid their coat over a puddle for you? Any time? No, I doubt it. I read this story recently. A man appears before St. Peter at the pearly gates. Have you ever done anything of particular merit, St. Peter asks. Well, I can think of one thing the man says. Once, on a trip to the Black Hills out in South Dakota, I came across a gang of high testosterone bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and the most heavily tattooed biker. I smacked him on the head. I kicked his bike over. I ripped out his nose ring and I threw it on the ground and I told him, "Leave her alone or you'll answer to me." St. Peter was really impressed. "When did this happen?" "Oh, about 2 minutes ago," he said. On the road to Jerusalem, that action of placing their tunic, their coat, on the back of the donkey, or for the followers to take off their tunic and throw it on the floor to allow the donkey to process over it, was an action that was motivated by love and affection for a friend. That's what it was. This is my friend, I love him, and I'm going to make sure he's comfortable. So I'm going to take my jacket off and I'm going to stick it on this smelly beast so that he's not going to be in pain. It was a sacrificial ministry from the followers of Jesus. They were giving coats of comfort. You know, this Salvation Army of ours has been raised from the outset to have ministry of comfort. Let me ask you, in your closet, do you have a coat of comfort? In your closet, do you have a coat of comfort? The second occasion that we read of coats en route to Jerusalem is this one. Further on, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. So we've moved from the donkey to the road, while others cut branches and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, in this occasion, the coats put on the road were not for his comfort, they were there for his honour. It was a red carpet of clothing. And by giving up their coats, they were showing their welcome to the king. They were saying, "You're greater than I am. You're greater than I am. I'm placing my coat for you." The palms that they were waving heralded victory. The shouts acclaimed him to be the Messiah, but the coats acknowledged his place. "You are greater than me, and I'm giving you your place." Unlike the gentleman that I read in the advert at the beginning of the address, for them their coats came very second. to the need to give praise and honor to the Son of Man. And so they had coats of honor. In your closet, you've got a coat of honor that you're willing to give to the King of Kings? We have to wait a few more days into Holy Week to read the next instance of a coat, and it's John 13. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This wasn't a coat of comfort. This wasn't a coat of honor. This was a coat of ministry. A coat of ministry. And that coat of ministry indicated the true nature of the Savior's relationship with his followers. I tell you, you've got to love somebody to actually take off your coat and wash their feet. And in doing that, wonderful donning that coat of ministry around his waist, he was saying, this is the true nature of the relationship I have with you. Jesus was one who reached out to embrace unconditionally the whosoever. He possessed the coat of ministry. Have you got one? Have you got one? And you know, this was taken to the ultimate level the following day through another coat, John chapter 19. On the day that he would be crucified, Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they clothed him in a purple robe. The coat that they would put on his shoulders would be purple. The coat that he wore that day was given to him, not in any pleasant, honorable way, but in a cruel fashion. And yet it symbolized the greatest act of grace that the world has ever seen. And in choosing to wear that coat, Jesus showed the undeserved mercy of God for the entire world. And so that coat became simply a coat of grace. A coat of grace that he was willing to don for us. And now, at the beginning of this Holy Week, Jesus stands with another coat. But this time it's not one for him to wear. It's one for us to wear. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that one who would come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the good news. And the prophet declared in Isaiah 61, I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me, he's clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Isaiah in 61 would prophesize what the coming of Jesus would be and what it would mean for us all. And you know, Holy Week is the reality of that prophecy. Jesus stands with arms open wide, holding the garment of salvation that he wants to give to us, that he's earned for us by dying on a cross. We all know the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. What's the key moment of the story of the prodigal? When the prodigal comes home, what does the father do? The father runs out to him, he places a coat on the son's shoulders, and in doing so, by putting that jacket on his shoulder blades, he says, my son, you're redeemed, you're accepted, you're now whole again, you're not eating with the pigs anymore, you're restored, you're now the son of mine who was lost. And that's exactly what Jesus stands with, the garment of salvation that says, come my friends, wear this, because I've redeemed you, you're accepted, I've come to make you whole. I've come to restore to you the rightful relationship that God wants you to have. And so that coat becomes the coat of redemption and acceptance. To me, Holy Week is the story of five coats. Five simple coats. The coat of comfort. The coat of honour. Still appear on the word. The coat of ministry. The coat of grace. The coat of redemption and acceptance. You know, on Palm Sunday, those disciples gave up what they had on their backs gladly. The question was, would they now accept the coat that he was offering them? Would they accept it? They couldn't see that day that as they gave him their coats, in fact, he'd come to give them a new garment. Tonight, I'm not asking you to give up your tunic. I'm not asking you to lay it on a beast or put it on the floor. But what I am suggesting to you and what I am offering you is the offer to receive a new tunic, a new coat, a new jacket. That wonderful coat of redemption and acceptance. Will you take it? Will you take it tonight? We're going to sing together a song that allows us to just ponder this very thought. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throat, your majesty. Robes that I do not deserve, there, being offered. And tonight, are you going to grab hold of the coat of forgiveness and acceptance that Jesus is offering you this Holy Week? Are you going to wear the royal robe that you don't deserve, that I don't deserve, but he's offered gladly? Jesus tonight is saying, I don't want your tunic, thanks. I don't want your coat, thanks. I've got one for you, the garment of salvation. You're going to put it on. And tonight, as you go from this place, can you go from this place knowing, without doubt, I'm saved, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed. I hope you can, because this is the coat that Christ offers you at the beginning of this Holy Week. Don't wait till Good Friday to get it. Don't wait till Easter Sunday. Get it now. Come, wear it. It's just hanging. It's just hanging, as he was, for you to receive. Sing with me, and if you want to use our place of prayer as we sing, come forward. Thanks, John. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. Offering the coat. Are you going to wear it to go home in? The garment of salvation, of acceptance. It's yours. Let's pray together. Father God, tonight, we thank you for a different way of looking at Palm Sunday as we've discovered the various different garments, cloaks, tunics, coats, whatever, that we use that day. We've seen how many of them were given to give you comfort and honor. We've seen how in Holy Week you yourself donned the coat of ministry and in scorn took on the coat of grace. And yet tonight we can't ignore the fact that you offer us tonight the coat of redemption and acceptance. And that's the most beautiful news any of us can ever hear, that as we go to our place of dwelling tonight, our home, we go knowing that we're wearing the garments of salvation because we're redeemed, we're accepted, because Jesus' death on the cross made that possible. So Lord, as we enter this Holy Week, may we indeed magnify afresh and take on board afresh the whole message of the cross and our salvation and the price it costs Jesus to bring about, but the wonderful privilege that we have of even being called saved people. Magnify it to us this week, please, Lord. We ask our prayers in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.